sometimes we need to act in an opposite manner, perhaps, of how we're feeling or something that's on our mind in particular. Where the words we speak, the facial expressions that we have, and the general outlook is opposite to the thoughts in our minds and the emotions we're feeling. Sometimes we need an opposite day moment. And there, Squidward and SpongeBob were showing us how they were trying to react differently so that Squidward really could get his own way in the end. But it's a great episode, and if you get the chance to have a look at it all, enjoy. Anyway, an opposite day moment. I had one just a couple of weeks ago. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and it's quite right. I remember someone saying that, you know, we can have lovely warm feelings and we see how long those last after Sunday morning meeting. And it lasted for me about half an hour, probably, by the time I got home. And on this particular day, for some reason, I don't know why, the two eldest boys that I have, Sam and Isaac, they were having a bit of a bickering competition, okay, that afternoon. And as most parents will concede here, growing, raising, and developing children can be a sort of whole combination of ideas and emotions that you go through. It's rewarding, it's demanding, it's joyful, it's annoying, it's a stroll in a park, quite literally, and a roller coaster ride at times. But on this particular weekend, the boys, I don't know what got into them, but they were going to argue and bicker and have their own way no matter what, you know. So this went on for a while. You can call it what you want, sibling rivalry, striving for attention, you know, from the parents or whatever. And it went on, okay? And that's how it was. So Sean and I were sort of like looking at each other, you know, trying to get them sort of focused and all the rest of it. But whatever happened, you know, they just weren't settling down. Okay, so by this stage, you know, they were getting on each other's nerves, and more annoyingly, they were getting on my nerves even more. So this, you know, was continuing. So the last resort, instead of a lecture or doing something extremely constructive with them, I decided to send them out to play football together over the park. So long. Don't come back until you've sorted your heads out. So it was one of those, okay? So by this time, Sean and I were like, oh, bit of peace now, great. So Sean was sitting there having a cup of coffee. I'd come in from the kitchen, just about to sit down, and we've got like a little window by our middle room, which you can see onto our drive. And I've got five neighbours, right the way our house is situated, we've got five different sets of neighbours all around, surrounding us, you know. Bit of a strange setup, but there we go, we're blessed to have neighbours, and they're all great. But as I went to sit down, this one neighbour sort of walked up our drive and across the window with a face like thunder. Oh, no. So Sian quickly got up with a coffee and ran upstairs. I don't know why. And she said, can you answer the door? Okay, so this particular neighbour, okay, is actually a lovely person, right? But I could see by the look in the face, they were not happy about something. And they were carrying a bag and a stick. So knock on the door, open the door, and this neighbour explained in no uncertain terms the frustration in finding things in their garden which originally came from my garden, all right? And the children play in the garden and stuff, all right? So if I can, I'll just give you the list of things which are in this bag, the things I can actually remember. A golf ball, three footballs, Naomi's shoe, a hairbrush, a log, a long stick with nails in it, and half an umbrella. A strange combination, I know. But anyway, he was there and not happy about the things which are going over. And we've had discussions in the past where the odd football will go over and, you know, that's fine, chuck it back. But this has got to a bit of a boiling point stage now. And, you know, I am trying to discipline these children into, you know, you're not supposed to chuck things over the hedge. Now that, you know, you'll almost reach an adulthood, like, so don't do it. So that happened. And, of course, the build-up to this now, this afternoon, of being, you know, annoyed with the children arguing, because that, you know, it does get you down a bit and frazzles you a little bit. And now I'm faced with this angry neighbour. So I'll just want to tell you about the feelings inside me at this point. And I strangle the children when they get home. That was the first thing. No, literally, you know what I mean. And this anger was dwelling up, you know, anger, frustration, annoyance. But what I also realised was this, you know, the parental instinct of wanting to protect and defend your children as well. Oh, they've only chucked the football over and a stick with nails sticking out of it. You know what I mean? So I knew I couldn't defend myself on that one. So my face, I managed to force out like a smile, which is more of a grimace or like trapped wind. Tried to smile, and I said, I'm really sorry, I apologise for what the children have done, and I will explain them when they get home and speak to them about it again. But within me, I didn't want to say that. I really wanted to be defensive and angry and annoyed and have a go back, like, you know. So I had to have an opposite day moment because I could know what was rising up within me. And it was really striking at that time, that split second. I wanted to lose my rag, get annoyed, and be very defensive. But amazing, I managed to get over that kind of situation and apologised. Because there's a great thing about, you know, forgiveness, apology, and grace, and this kind of stuff. And I knew I had to settle myself down because, you know, the kids would be in for it when they go home. So 5 minutes later, the children came home, stopped them in their tracks halfway up the drive. Right then, guys, I want to show you this bag of things which has been found in our neighbour's garden. Could you please go round and apologise for your behaviour? And after a little bit of negotiation and discussion, they eventually went round to apologise, and everything went well. They apologised, the neighbour gave them the lecture that I was given as well, and they said, you know, sorry, and all the rest of it. So that was a great way of starting out your Sunday, as you can imagine. Maybe not. But the whole thing about I am right and you are wrong arises in our lives so much in today's age, you know. And I just want us to remember that as I'm getting into this talk a little bit more, about the whole sort of argument that rises up within us quite often, I am right, you are wrong, where our opinions are so strong on something. And hopefully today we can get a little bit out from this particular talk. Okay. So, the verse we're looking at, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. And it says this, all right? Love. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And Rachel, she did a great job for the kids there earlier. These verses, just was half a verse, actually, because Suzanne spoke about the first part of it last week, about love is patient and love is kind. What a great talk and a great thing for putting into practice. And this is the second half of that verse, okay? Love is not envious, it is not boastful, or it is not proud. And that's what we're going to look at this morning in the next few minutes. So if love is not envious, boastful, or proud, as lovers of Jesus, or followers of Jesus, or Christ-like ones, we are to be the opposite of envious, the opposite of boastful, and proud people. And hence the whole sort of subject title of Opposite Day, okay? So we act in, or within us, have the opposite attitude of the boastfulness, the pride, etc. So, I'm going to tell you a little story about an issue I had with my wisdom tooth. Going back a few years ago, getting a lot of problems with my wisdom tooth. We'd come and go, you know, with an ulcer and that kind of stuff, because it was growing in the wrong direction. So eventually, the final straw was, it was a Christmas time, off work, nice to relax with the family, and I just had this toothache, horrible pain all Christmas, and that was it. I said, right, I'm going to do something about this. Ended up going to the doctors, going to the dentist, getting the wisdom tooth extracted. And in the process of getting it extracted, as she was had a sort of heel on my chin, ripping my wisdom tooth out, I could hear this funny sort of cracking noise. Oh, what's that? That didn't sound right. I pulled the wisdom tooth out, and there was two of the three roots there. So one of them was in there, like, you know. Now then, it's there now, and it's staying there. She said, don't worry about it, it's normal. Are you sure? Are you qualified to say that? Yeah. So anyway, I got a bit of root stuck in my gum anyway since that wisdom tooth. I've had no problems with it ever since, and I'm very grateful about that because it can be really annoying. But a root can be very strong. So that root sort of snapped off and is in there, and it'll, you know, it'll stay there. But in life, do you know what? Pride can be a strong root in our lives. And it deserves uncovering and pulling out. So if you can, you know, sort of just think about that for a moment. When we got pride within us, that can be such a deep root within us, it can be difficult to pull out and to get rid of and to be released from. And that can affect our lives in so many ways, okay? Distinctly or subtly, pride can grip us in a few ways. In the way we speak, in the way that we treat others, in the way that we think about ourselves, the way that we view our own opinions. Pride can get a grip of all those things and really sort of drive us in a certain way in life and sort of confine us to the way that we think and operate and treat people. So what is pride? It's an unhealthy view of one's self-importance, a love of oneself perhaps in a boastful way or an over-the-top kind of way. And if I was to say that I'm proud to be Welsh, I'm proud to be a Liverpool supporter, I'm proud of serving and belonging to Cornerstone, I'm proud of a job well done, or scoring a goal, which doesn't happen very often because nobody passes to me, proud of my children, I'm proud of my wife, this is not like a sinful, boastful pride, but a pride of taking joy out of an achievement or having gratitude for a sense of belonging. And that is fine, that's great. But what is an unhealthy pride? Well, the super self-confidence, a distorted sort of self-esteem that ignores one's shortcomings, that you've got it all wrapped up, you are the business, you're going places and this kind of thing. Pride turns into sin when it becomes arrogance and vanity. Sinful pride exaggerates one's abilities and accomplishments and ignores one's imperfections and failings. So can you see the difference there? You know, it's good to look to God and acknowledge God in all that we are, what God has done in our lives, etc. But let's not try taking all the credit, you know, for doing these things. We need to be aware of our shortcomings and our mess-ups and the bits that we do wrong and the bits where we don't treat people right. You know, let's be aware of those things. Let's not get bogged down by it, but let's be aware of it. And let's not get stuck into pride and allow that to be a root in our lives, that we operate out of a vanity or a super self-confidence or arrogance. And of course, being confident and stuff like that is no problem at all. But not when it's focused on being a proud, boastful person, okay? So pride can be a real root and an ongoing pattern for us. It can motivate such things like lying, cheating, stealing, criticism and insults. Now you may find that might be a bit harsh, but not really. Because there's a refusal to accept authority over us, you know? Sometimes when pride is really rooted within us, nobody else can be right. Nobody else can have authority over me because I know it all kind of thing. And what I say goes. So it's good to have, you know, a sort of opposite sort of reaction to that and to be humble. So an unnatural, unbalanced tendency to exalt oneself over others and even over God. And that's where it gets, you know, that's when it gets bad situation and is where your decisions, your motives, what you want to do in life, you know, overstates perhaps what God wants to do in your life and what God is saying, or whether we're stuck in a sin where we feel, well, it's not a problem, it's not an issue, but actually God has got an opinion on this, and the Bible's got an opinion on this, and the love and the grace of Jesus have got an opinion on this. So it's good, really, to bring ourselves in line before God and try and sort of reveal within us what this pride thing could be, okay? Okay, so pride. I'm going to go back a little bit in the Bible to Isaiah, okay? And in Isaiah, it talks about Lucifer, Satan, whichever way you want to describe him. And Lucifer fell. He wanted to be like God. Now he, it says in the scriptures in Isaiah, says this, all right, in chapter 14. I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And those there are boastful sort of comments by Satan. So that's why, although I've tried to package like the opposite day thing in a light-hearted, sort of humorous angle, pride actually is the root of the fall of humankind, really, because Lucifer wanted to be like God. He wanted to rise himself above God and take glory. So when we really think about it, pride is a big one for us to get a grip of and get hold of in our lives, because that's where, you know, the sin and the fall of humankind sort of got established, really, is through Satan's own pride. And Eve was fooled by Satan. She was tempted to have knowledge like God. And again, this is a pride thing, wanting to know more, wanting to be like God. And let's be aware of the strategy of Satan, wanting to sort of have a go in our lives, you know. There's a strategy behind it. Just that might be working on us, like, you know. So I want to unpack that a little bit too. So ultimately, pride is a root of sin and it's rebellion against God. And we can see it there from Isaiah. So that is the real sort of bones behind it. Overcoming pride. Let's think opposite day for a moment. Love is humility. Okay? So if love is not being proud, it's not being boastful, and it's not being envious, if love is not those things, what is love? Well, love is humility. It's the opposite of pride, okay? Humility is not a false self-depreciation where insulting yourself so others can sort of build you up. You know, that is not really true sort of humility. It's always being down on yourself. But it is recognized that we are made by God for a relationship with God, to be loved by God, for us to love him. You know, that is really the nuts and bolts of knowing God and having a healthy self-view. And that all that we are, gifts, talents, abilities, are from God by a loving God and a heavenly Father. You know, God wants to grip our lives so much. You know, every single day, he wants to grip our lives, help us each step of the way. And it was great, you know, some of the prayers that we were praying this morning. You know, God is for us. He wants to help in every situation of our lives. Every single situation. There isn't one thing that goes unrecognized by God. You know, God wants to be involved in everything. You know, nothing is brushed under the carpet. God wants to be there for us and help us along the way. So to be humble is to love. And that, again, is a choice Suzanne mentioned last week of choosing to be kind and choosing to be patient. That is a choice to be loving and being, you know, full of love and compassion. And humility, again, is another way of sort of choosing what we do in life. Okay, so just want to go through those three little bits on that verse there. It's sort of like a circle effect, all right? That was the best I could do with the graphics. You know, brilliant on the old PowerPoint. But pride, boasting and envy, it's all packaged into one, really, okay? It's all packaged into one. And this is a little consideration, just want you to grab hold of a moment, that out of pride, we can be envious and we can be boastful as well, okay? Two things there. We can be envious and boastful. And they're all linked together. And we can combat this sort of pattern through humility. By acknowledging God and having a healthy viewpoint of ourselves, we can combat this sort of cycle of pride, envy, and boastfulness. And that is by having a healthy self-esteem, okay? Now, I don't know if you can see that one there. All right, typically American, I would have guessed. I am awesome. Okay, a humble attitude and humility of character is supported by a healthy self-esteem, okay? So in this last point that I'm going to make for this morning, I just want you to focus before God this morning, right now, make this decision that I am going to have a healthy self-esteem. Can you all sort of whisper that to God now? All right? I'm going to have a healthy self-esteem. Okay, so as Adam and Eve were tripped up and tricked in the Garden of Eden to be filled with pride, there are further strategies that the enemy sort of throws against us, okay, in our lives. And they can quite often be psychological, as these things that are thrown at us, okay, that we may struggle with and be combated by fear, doubt, anger, hostility, worry, and guilt. Some items there that we may struggle with, or the enemy would like to accuse us with, or throw against us all the time. It's going on within our heads, within our thinking, and out of that, we need to really focus on what God is actually thinking about us, and what God actually has done in our lives. So let's unravel low self-esteem, or self-esteem, and let's get to grips with what God thinks about us. Where we might feel inferior, or inadequate, or have a low self-worth, what can we do about that? What can God do about that? Because with a lack of self-esteem or self-worth, we can respond in two ways, okay? There's two ways we can respond to that. Way number one, we're immobilized by fear and feelings of inadequacy. We're immobilized. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of being compared to others. Perhaps people we see as successful and we don't feel that successful. watered down living. We're just too fearful and scared to do things in case we get it wrong. Or what will other people think? And therefore, we waste our God-given talents. And there's a loss of potential because we don't have that motivation now because of the lower self-esteem we have for ourselves. We don't think we're there. We're not right. We're not at that level, God. But you know what? God doesn't see us like that. God sees every one of us here as able to carry his grace and his blessing, to achieve the potential that he's made us into, and to get out there and to do it through God. And for us, the challenge is the self-esteem issue of seeing ourselves how God sees us. And that is so important. And if you can just think for another moment, God, show me who I am in you. That is so important to get a grip of. There's nothing in us, the qualifications that we have or don't have, the way we speak or we don't speak, whichever it may be, the energy we feel we have or don't have, all these different things, you know, God can work through and use us and shape us and develop us, and we can get out there and do it. So that's one way of reacting. Another way of reacting is this: we become demanding and proud. We become overpowering and overly competitive. I know some of you are probably thinking, oh, overly competitive. I've seen you on the football pitch and on the game of spoons. But, you know, sport in arena can be a little bit different, right? It's all right on the football pitch and all that, and rugby and all the rest of it, and, you know, athletics and that kind of stuff. In a good context, of course. Being overly competitive, needing to be right, cannot take being wrong. We want to know the most and be above the rest, that our knowledge is far above yours, or yours, or yours. Looking for constant approval, acceptance, basically needing love. Now that's what we need in life. We need love. We need love and acceptance. That's what we want as human beings in life. And for us as Christian, as God people, Christ-like ones, being accepting of people, being approving of people, that is the nature to have. It's being Christ-like. Okay? And where we read time and time again in the New Testament about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the high priests, etc., who knew all this knowledge and stuff, they just did not get Jesus because they were puffed up with the knowledge that they knew and the way they lived their lives, and they weren't prepared to accept the grace and the love and the compassion of Jesus. So for us to have a right self-esteem, to know God's love and grace, is so important for us to take on board and to know the good things that God has called us into. So what else? The Mr. or Mrs. Perfect scenario. And I've said before, Shan bought me one when I was 18, a pair of Mr. Perfect slippers, because I knew it all at that age. How God has proved me wrong so many times. Being envious and all this kind of stuff can be coming out of a low self-esteem, possibly. Maybe looking back, and where does it come from? Who knows? Maybe it was our childhood, our upbringing, where we wanted a father's love or a mother's love, or we didn't get it, or wanted to be accepted by our friends and we didn't get it. And all these kind of things can shape us in life. And this morning, if I can leave you with something, it is that God loves us. That God's love is perfect. Man's love is partial. It's partial. It doesn't hit the mark for us. It helps, but another person's love and acceptance really helps us in life. But it is not the perfect love that God gives us. It's partial. So let's know God's perfect love for us this morning. And let's find contentment and peace in Christ. If self-esteem sort of pulls out and grips us in life, you know, that can be such a hard thing to get over, can't it? Can be a hard thing to get over, but we can know God's love and peace. So let's review those years gone by of where we feel we're at in God. Let's know the shaping factors of what's made us the person we are now. And let's hand over those issues to God this morning. Let's say, God, this is where I am today. I may recognize this or that in my life that you've heard this morning. And I want to sort of grab all of that, really, and deal with it this morning, Lord. I want you to help me where I may be a little bit proud in areas. Help me to have a humble attitude. Where I'm feeling low, my self-esteem is down, Lord, help me out of that. Help me to know your grace, to know who you've made me to be. each day, Lord, give me the strength and the knowledge of you within my heart. And if these little things are something that we can play with this morning, then I think that's a good way forward for us to, you know what love means. It's not being boastful, it's not being proud, and it's not being envious. And that really are the verses from this morning. So is it okay if I can just ask Adrian and perhaps someone else who's going to help you, Ed, just to play through a song while I pray for people here this morning? And I just want you to be a little bit active now, okay? I know that sometimes, you know, listening to a talk or listening to a particular story or message can, you know, we sort of lull into it. But now I just want us to, just before God, let's be active. Let's, you know, let's sit up straight for a moment. I know this is just, you know, that's it. Okay, those bones creaking. Sit up straight. And let's get our minds straight for a moment. Let's get our minds straight for a moment. We're going to ask God to touch each of our hearts this morning for the whole issue of pride, of humility, and of self-esteem. All right, and while the band are going to, they're going to play a little tinkly song in the background, and I'm going to pray for you all, okay? All right, but I want you to be active, all right? Active in there, praying before God, okay? Now, it's only 2 minutes past 12, so relax. We've got a whole at least 3 minutes to go, all right? So chill out and be active before God this morning.
Your grace is enough, more than I need. At your word I will believe. I'll wait for you, draw near again. Let your spirit
of the enemy and how he wanted to be like you, Lord. And this morning we sort of look at that full on, Lord, in our own lives, Lord. And we pray this morning that our hearts would be humble. That before you we look back, Lord, and consider the self-esteem that we have as people. Maybe we look back to our childhood years and we long for listening to perhaps the love of a father. And the reassurance of the reassuring word and the well done's, you've done a good job. And these things maybe perhaps that we missed out on, perhaps as people. A kind word from a friend or another relative, Lord. And we bring that before you this morning, Lord. That our hearts before you would be open. That we would know your love, your reassurance today. That we're a called people. That ultimately our parents, Lord, can do a limited job, but you, Lord, can do the full job in our hearts. And this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would fill our self-esteem and self-worth levels to overflowing, Lord. That we would know the beauty that you put within us. That we would know the compassion and the love and the acceptance that you put within us, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us where we don't accept that love, Lord, where we don't accept you. That you'd help us to overcome it, Lord. So we want to overcome religiousness and legalism. We want to get over and past that, Lord. And we want to know what it is to be freely loved by Jesus and his grace and your mercy, Lord. And we pray for these things now in Jesus' name, that we would not give the enemy a foothold, that we would not allow him to cripple us with fear and rejection and anger and pride. We will not allow that to happen, Lord. But we would ask your grace and humility to usher into our hearts, that we are God people, men and women, saved by your grace, forgiven, completed by you, Lord. Completed by you. And that's the fact. That is the fact. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, while everyone's sort of eyes are closed and you're praying, after the band are finished and you feel ready, if there's people here who feel perhaps a pride thing is something that they struggle with, to combat that, to work in the opposite spirit, is to be humble. And sometimes it's something that we need to speak out and to confess before God, but which is also very helpful is to confess it to somebody else. So if there's anyone here feeling right now that, yeah, I need to confess out to God and to someone humility to overcome your pride, then please do that after this is all finished, okay? Because it's going to be a big step for you. Because maybe it's been something that you've held on to for many years that you've never quite managed to overcome. But the opportune moment is here now to confess it. Myself, Julian, Sarah, we're all down the front here, and later on just grab us and capture the moment and get over it. And to get over that situation. So Lord, in closing this morning, fill us full of your grace, full of your mercy, that we're people who are called by you, completed by you, and moved by you, in Jesus' name. Your love overcomes, Lord. And we thank you for that now, in Jesus' name.
Very important talk, and I just want to reinforce what Adam said, that if God spoke to you about pride, the opposite spirit is really important. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. If you were to examine the original language of the Greek, it means if there's a controlling problem that you can't get over, it's a part of your life, tell somebody about it. Receive prayer. And that's a principle to break free. Confess your sins one to another that you may be healed or set free. And pride is a particularly powerful thing. And acting in humility, confessing, a humbling act, is a very powerful spiritual discipline and truth. Well, it's the end of our meeting. God bless you. Have a great week.